Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
This morning, it is my absolute privilege to be preaching into the topic, I Know a God. If you're new with us and you're like, what is that? That is our theme for the year, that we as a congregation will know a God or do know a God, or by the end of the year, we do know this God. And Pastor Byron kicked off the series last week with talking about, I know a God of abundance. And if you missed that message, I believe it is a prophetic message for our congregation, but also for our nation, that our God is not a God of scarcity, but our God is a God of abundance. And so I want to encourage you to go to our YouTube channel, download it, listen to it on the way to work, you know, get some of the Word of God into your heart and souls, because it was a powerful prophetic message. And if you missed our Vision Sunday, get online and check that out as well. But today I have the absolute privilege of continuing on that series. Now, I know you've been sitting for a little while. If you'd be so kind as to stand, place your hand on your heart or open your hands in a posture to receive this morning. I do believe that God has a word for us today. I don't come up here preaching and hoping it tickles our ears. I'm praying that God speaks, not my voice, not my words, but His. God, I come to you today, and as this congregation, we know, Scripture's clear, that where two or three of us are gathered in your name, that there you are in the midst of us. And we have already sensed your presence in this place, moving. What a celebration to watch as people move towards you through the waters of baptism. And so today, God, we come to you, and to know a different aspect of our God, to learn to love and know you in deeper ways. Would you speak to us, we pray? Speak to us individually in this corporate place. And everyone who had faith to hear the voice of God said, amen, amen. You're welcome to take your seats. Daily, shockingly, we hear life stories of elderly people being neglected, of sick people being discarded, of immigrant children being taken from their parents, of hostages being kidnapped, and just this week hearing they've been murdered, of the poor dying of hunger and cold. And often I find myself concerned by my lack of compassion when I hear these stories. And I think to myself, surely I should be more moved. Surely I should be more affected when I hear the stories, these bad news stories of people. And then I wonder to myself, if it was my family members and their names and their faces, would I feel more? And then I wonder, has the world rubbed off on me? Have I become so calloused, so hard? Has my heart become so hardened that I'm no longer feeling the impact of these difficulties or of these struggles that people are experiencing? Then on the other hand, sometimes I hear these stories like the hostages that were murdered, and I am so broken and so moved that I feel despondent and depressed and helpless. Like, what can I do to help? What can I do to make a difference in the world? How is it possible that we are living in a place where we are murdering babies? How is that even a possibility that we are living in this place? And so I swing between compassionless to compassion fatigue, where I'm so tired by all the pain that is coming at me. Now, I'm not sure where you find yourself. Perhaps you're in the category of calloused and hard and unmoved. Perhaps you have compassion fatigue because you just can't take it anymore. Or perhaps, like me, you fluctuate between the two, given any week that you experience. But friends, what I do know is that Jesus gives us the best way to live. He gives us the best way to live. If we model ourselves on him. You know, scriptures that we say here at Thrive that we want to be with him, become like him, and do what he would do. We want to be Christ followers, and that means walking directly behind in the footsteps of Jesus, emulating his behavior, that who he is who we become. And so today, I'm going to unpack a passage of scripture where Jesus teaches us how it is that we can engage with the world around us without being calloused and without being so broken that we're so devastated that we do nothing. And so he gives us the best way to live right throughout scripture. And I want to encourage you to do a study on how it is that Jesus had compassion. He sees the sick and he has compassion. He sees the children and he has compassion. He sees the leper and he has compassion. He sees the multitude who have walked for 3 or 4 days and have no food and he has compassion. And so today I want to preach into the topic of I know a God who is full of compassion. I know a God who is full of compassion. And I'm going to do so using such an incredible passage of scripture. It's found in Mark 1, verse 40 to 42, and it says this. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion. Can everyone say moved with compassion? Moved with compassion. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Now, it's one thing to hear a passage of scripture. It's a completely other thing to imagine this passage of scripture. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it for us one more time. And what I would like you to do is close your eyes and imagine the scene. Let's put ourselves there. You can be the leper if you want in this story. You can be an observer. You can be a disciple. Put yourself in the story and observe the scene. Now, I realize what I'm asking is a dangerous thing because I'm saying close your eyes. I'm praying you open your eyes at the end of this imagination. And what we're going to do at the end is we're going to open our eyes and I'm going to tell you to bump the person next to you if they are asleep for any reason. All right, would you close your eyes and imagine the scene with me as I read it again? A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. All right, you can open your eyes. Make sure the person next to you is awake. Isn't it just a beautiful biblical account? When you hear it once, it's wonderful. It's great. When you picture yourself in this scene, it completely changes what you experience and what you see. And so today I want to just unpack just for a few moments what it was like to have leprosy in Jesus' day. Firstly, leprosy was a contagious skin disease. It was a virus that would literally eat away at your flesh. So what we need to picture is a man with leprosy, not just with a couple of sores, no, with his skin falling off of his body, coming towards Jesus and begging to be healed. What leprosy also did is it ate away at the soft tissue. So depending on how far into the disease a person was, they would literally have part of their noses missing, part of their ears missing. So like, I don't know what you pictured, but it was probably more sanitized than that. I Googled some leprosy pictures and I thought I can't put that up because if I put that up, nobody will hear anything I've said. And so what we need to picture is a man with physical skin rotting. It says that he would have smelt. When your skin is, flesh is rotten off of you, there was a stench that came off of him. And this is the man that approached Jesus. So he was physically deformed. He was physically ill. But not only was he physically ill, in those days, people with leprosy were put in a colony of lepers outside of the town, not inside of the town, outside. They were discarded. They were put out of the town and had to form their own colony. They were not allowed to be with well people. And then one step further, which is horrendous, every time they encountered a well person, they would have to scream out, unclean, unclean, so that they did not infect anyone else because it was such a highly contagious disease of those days. So they were physically ill. They were socially ostracized. But what they say about leprosy is that it had a spiritual connotation to it as well. They didn't call out unwell or sick. They called out unclean because they believed that lepers had done something sinful in their lives to deserve the fact that they had leprosy. And so there was a spiritual element to leprosy as well. And so when they would call out unclean, it was a spiritual indication of their soul, of the condition of their soul. So there's a physical element, there's a social element, and there is a spiritual element to leprosy, which is why they had to go to the priest, and the priest had to declare that they were clean if they got healed, not go to the physician so that the physician would say they are well. It's really a powerful concept. And what we need to see about this text is that the leper came in a physical form, in socially ostracized form, in a spiritual form of uncleanliness. And then it says Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. Friends, what this word is, compassion, the root word is splognon of Greek, in the Greek, and that word means spleen. And what it's saying and what it indicates is that Jesus was literally punched in the gut when he saw that man. He was cut to his spleen, into his inner core with emotion when he saw that man. Friends, what this tells me and what I love is that Jesus is fine with us approaching him in this unclean state, in this place of where we are physically ill and when we are socially ostracized and when we might be spiritually unclean. He is moved with compassion when he sees us. He doesn't go, oh, stay there. He is moved with compassion. It's so beautiful. He's punched in the gut with compassion when he sees this person. And then what I love about this is that it says, the order of this is very important. It says that he was moved with compassion, he touched him, and then he healed him. He did not heal him and then touch him. He touched him in his mess. He touched him with his skin falling off, and while he was socially ostracized, he touched him while he was spiritually unclean. Friends, we can't read this text and not understand that Jesus, Scripture says, was fully God and fully man. What that's saying is he touched the man at risk of being infected by leprosy. He touched him and then he healed him. We get that same benefit of coming into the presence of Jesus in our messed up state with our physical deformities and with our social ostracizing and with our spiritual uncleanliness. And Jesus touches us right where we are. He does not ask us to sort ourselves out, to get cleaned and sort of get yourself spiritually correct and then come to me. And then if you pay special attention to this text, it's so beautiful. The man says to Jesus, if you are willing, would you clean me? Not would you only heal me, would you cleanse me? What, there's two points here that are vital. If you are willing, not if you are able. He knew that Jesus was able. He had heard the reports of his able Jesus, the one who raised the dead, the one who opened blind eyes, the one who fed multitudes of people. He knew that Jesus was able. But his question was, are you willing? You're sovereign, God. You can do whatever you choose to do. Are you willing? Because I know you're able. And then secondly, asked, would you cleanse me? Spiritually cleanse me. Would you give me access to you with a spiritual cleansing? And then the beautiful thing about this text is that Jesus says, I am willing. Friends, we serve a God who is willing. He's moved with compassion when he sees us, and he is sovereign, but he is also willing to meet us exactly where we are at. Friends, it is a beautiful text, and the more we read it, the more we can learn. But Jesus was moved with compassion. And so the question for us this morning is, what is compassion? What is compassion? Well, compassion is defined as to suffer together. So when Jesus saw this man, he suffered with him. And then it's defined as the feelings that arise when you are confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve that suffering. Jesus had feelings that arose when he saw the leper, and then he felt motivated to alleviate that person's suffering. Jesus entered the leper's story, and he was willing and able, able and willing, and he met him right where he was. And friends, we're invited to emulate Jesus in how it is that we engage with the world around us. And so there are a couple of lessons we can learn about how it is that we can enter our world full of compassion, just like Jesus entered his, and how he engaged with the world in a compassionate way. And the first thing I know and see from this text is that compassion requires that we are willing to see the suffering. Friends, I can drive through our neighborhood and there can be a beggar on the side of the road and I can just not look there because I don't want to see the suffering. That's not how Jesus lived. He lived with his eyes wide open, seeing the suffering of those around them. And friends, we don't have to go too far to see the suffering of others. We don't have to. We can just be in any community, in this community right here, with just a couple hundred people in this auditorium. There is suffering in this room. And we need to walk into the room with our eyes wide open to see the suffering. In this room here are people who've had a terrible week, people who've been retrenched, people who are hungry, people who are unable to put their kids in school because of finances. There are people here who are unwell and just need us to see them and speak a word of compassion into their lives. There are people in the room who have just recently lost a loved one and are grieving. There are people in the room who've just gone through a divorce and are lonely and broken. We don't have to go too far to see the suffering of others. But what we do need to do is open our eyes. If we go into our universities, open our eyes to see the suffering of others. In our workplaces, open our eyes to see those who are suffering. In the shopping centers, in the car parks, let's just open our eyes to see the suffering of others. Ian McLaren, he's quoted as saying, be kind. You know, it's scary that we have to tell people to be kind. Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Friends, when you get to know people, you will know that everyone has a story. Everyone has something that's happening in their lives that requires us to engage in a compassionate way. The second thing I understand from this text is that compassion requires that we are willing to sense the suffering. It's one thing to see the suffering. I can see suffering and be unmoved. My heart can still be cold. My heart can still be hard. I can have a wall around my heart going, I don't care what's happening. It's not happening to me. That's all that matters. You know, we can have a heart like that. But we need to be praying for the walls around our hearts to come down, so that we can engage in the world like Jesus engaged in the world, full of compassion. Ezekiel says that we can literally pray for this. I love this. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will take out your stony and stubborn heart and give you a tender and responsive heart. Friends, sometimes life has caused us to become calloused and hard. And every now and then, it's important for us to look at the condition of our heart. Have I got walls around my heart? Why am I unmoved by the suffering? Why am I so hardened and calloused and cold? God, would you give me a new heart? Would you give me a heart that breaks for the things that break your heart, God? A heart that breaks for injustice, a heart that breaks at poverty, a heart that breaks when people are being treated unfairly. Give me a heart that's after your heart, God. The third thing I see is that compassion requires that we are willing to soften the suffering. Now, friends, you and I are not Jesus, which is a good thing, because I don't know if I could heal everybody's suffering. But we can soften suffering. It's not within our power to heal everybody's suffering, but it is within our power to soften the suffering of another. We allow Jesus to do the healing, and we help with softening suffering. And that means that we can be present when people are struggling. It means that we can love, and we can call people, and we can message people, and we can pray for people. The best thing that we have is our prayers. Friends, there's faith in our prayers. Our God can do. He is willing. He is able. He can do immeasurably more than we can ask or think. And so what we can do is offer our prayers to a God who is more than able. We can give an encouraging word. We can cook a meal. We can give a gift. We can make a care package. Friends, I love this passage of scripture in Galatians 6:2. It says we can share each other's burdens. We can't take away another's burden, but we can share it. And the picture that I have in my mind about this is somebody under a massive boulder, like being crushed, and that this boulder is pressing in on them. And what we do to share a burden is to come under that boulder and just give them a little bit of support. Help them lift the burden that they are experiencing. And so, friends, compassion requires these three things: that we are willing to see the suffering, we are willing to sense the suffering, and we are willing to soften the suffering. This is exactly how Jesus lived. If we look at this passage, he saw the leper, he sensed, he was moved, he was punched in the gut, and then he softened the suffering. This is how Jesus lived. But what I have realized, and through my time of prayer about this scripture, is I was like, God, you know, this feels like just a challenge. Let's do this. Let's do this. But I felt like God was saying that we cannot give what we have not received. There's some of us in the room who have never experienced the compassion of Christ. We have not, compassion has not been extended to us. And so it's very hard for us to be compassionate with the world when we ourselves are in desperate need of compassion. Matthew 9:35-38, it says this about what it was that moved the heart of Jesus. And what I believe Jesus' heart moves towards in this room today. You know, just as he walked into the crowds in those days, he walks into this congregation today and he has compassion on us. Matthew 9:35, it says this, and Jesus went through all the towns and villages, and I could paraphrase this, and Jesus went through all the Thrive churches in Boxburg and Edenvale, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Friends, Jesus is here. And he walks into this room and he has compassion on us. You know, it's hard for us to give what we have not received. And so he's in the room today to extend compassion to each and every one of us. And these are the areas that I believe he's coming to give compassion. And that's, there's people in the room today needing healing. Physical healing, emotional healing, social healing. And then, of course, spiritual healing. And he's here. And he brings that compassion. There are others in the room today. It says that he looks at us and we are harassed and helpless. That harassed, if you start to look it up, it's like you are burdened by the worries of life. And there is stress on every side, like pulling at you, harassing you. Now, I know there are many in the room today who are feeling harassed by the worries of life. But Jesus is here today to breathe his compassion through the power of the Holy Spirit into the room. And then there are many of us, if we keep reading that text, it says, are hopeless and helpless. Hopeless and helpless is a sense of depression. It's like, is there any point? I don't even know why I'm here today. Friends, you're here because the Spirit of the living God is here, and he drew you into this place for a reason, so that that hopelessness and helplessness could be replaced with purpose and a future and hope because of the compassion of Christ. And the last category of people I believe that the Spirit is here for are those who are without a shepherd. You're wondering, and you're confused, and you're lost, and you're needing leading, and you're needing guiding for your life. Well, friends, the good shepherd is in the room. And what I know about the good shepherd, if we're reading Psalm 23, is that the good shepherd, he's the one who leads. He's the one who makes us lie down at green pastures when it's time for us to rest. And he's the one who leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. That's the good shepherd I know. And so today, friends, in a moment, I'm going to invite us to stand, and I would love to pray for the compassion of Christ to fill us, if we need it in any one of those areas, because we cannot give what we have not received. A story goes of a man named Thomas who lived alone in a small town. He was a solitary figure because life had taught him that it was safer that way. Thomas had grown up in a house where affection and kindness were scarce, and he learned to keep his distance from others. He didn't remember a time when anyone had genuinely cared for him or shown him the warmth of compassion. One winter, a young woman by the name of Clara, she moved into the house next door. She was different from the people Thomas had known. Clara was open, friendly, and always willing to lend a hand. She quickly noticed how Thomas had kept to himself and never joined the neighborhood gatherings. She realized that Thomas seemed to have built walls around himself. And so curious Clara decided to bake a batch of biscuits and bring them over to Thomas, hoping to break through the isolation with a small gesture of kindness. Thomas, hoping to break through his isolation. So she stood at the doorstep, hesitating for a moment before knocking. When the door opened, Thomas looked at her with a mix of surprise and caution. "Hi, I'm Clara, your neighbor. I baked some biscuits and thought you might like to have a few," she said with a gentle smile, holding out the plate. Thomas was taken aback. He wasn't sure what to do with such friendliness, especially from someone he barely knew. He wanted to refuse, to retreat, but something in Clara's eyes moved him. "Thank you," he said quietly, accepting the plate and closing the door really quickly. For the next few weeks, Clara continued to reach out in small ways, but each time Thomas politely declined, hiding behind some of his excuses. He felt unworthy of her kindness and even afraid of what would happen if he let someone in. One evening, Clara knocked on his door again, this time holding out a hot drink. When he opened the door, she didn't wait for him to ask anything. She just said, "I thought you might like a hot drink tonight. You look like you've had a long week." Thomas was overwhelmed. She was offering him warmth when all he had ever known was coldness. She didn't expect anything from him, but the truth was he didn't know how to give something he hadn't received. He wasn't sure he could give anything. But as Clara turned to leave, Thomas found himself speaking before he even realized it. "Clara," he called, his voice barely above a whisper. She turned back, surprised to hear him speak her name. "I don't know how to do this," he said, his words fumbling. "I don't know how to accept compassion and kindness like this. No one has ever done this for me, and I don't know how to return it." Clara stood there for a moment, and then she stepped closer. "You don't have to return anything, Thomas," she said gently. "You don't have to give anything. All I'm asking is that you let yourself receive it." This morning, friends, I believe that the Holy Spirit is here. And he wants us to receive his compassion this morning, because we cannot give what we have not received. And so as the scripture that we read says, there are some here who need the compassionate healing of Christ. There are some of us who are hopeless and helpless, and we need the hope of Christ to breathe on us. There are some of us here who just need to be embraced by the love of Christ. And he's here this morning. And so it would be my great privilege and honor to pray with and over us all this morning as we receive the compassion of Christ in this place. So would you be so kind as to stand to your feet? And if that's you this morning, if you're like, "Yes, I need more of the compassion of Christ," there's no one looking around. This is just between you and God. If you would just raise your hands, and I'd love to pray with and for and over you today. The Holy Spirit's here, friends. Holy Spirit, would you come? As we stand in a posture to receive your compassion, would you breathe in this place? I believe that you're doing something new and something special, and that you are embracing us with your love this morning. God, there are some of us who have never experienced your love and your warmth and your compassion. Holy Spirit, would you wrap yourself around us in this moment? Would we sense and know the warmth and love of Christ in a real way today? God, there's some of us in the room who need your healing. Would you breathe your healing into our bodies? Some of us into our minds, and some of us into our souls right now. Would we leave changed by the compassion of Christ? Lord, we know that you are moved when you see us. You are not an ambivalent God. You are not there in the sky distant, but you are engaged and compassionate and interacting in our lives. And you are here. You are the good shepherd, the one who leads and guides. You give us rest when we need it. And you walk us through the valley of the shadow of death when we need it. And you give us hope and a future. And so, Spirit, breathe. Do what only you can do as we receive your compassion today. There are another category of people that I'd love the privilege and honor of praying for this morning, and that's those of you who've never had a friendship with Jesus. Friends, we cannot receive the compassion of Christ unless we're first friends with Jesus. When we're friends with him, when we accept him as our Lord and as our Savior and as our friend, there's this compassion that he just exudes for us. And what we need to know is that all along, God's plan for our lives was that we would be friends with God. That was the plan all along. If you read Genesis, you'll see that Adam and Eve walked in the garden with God in the cool of the night, having conversations with Him. But then they sinned, and that sin, it separated them from God. And so God wanted to make a plan for us to be reconciled back to Him. And so what He did is He sent His one and only Son to die on a cross in our place and for our sins and for their sins in order for us to be reconciled to Him. And so today in a moment, I'm going to extend an invitation with every head bowed, every eye closed, to say, hey, would you like a friendship with Jesus? It's the starting point of that life of compassion. And if that is you, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to pop up your hand. There's nobody looking around. And I would just include you in this prayer. It's a life-changing prayer. It's a prayer that will change your life, turn it upside down as you choose to live for Him. And so if that is you, on the count of three, just so you know when to pop up your hand, if you would pop up your hand, and you popping up your hand is indicating, hey, I want a friendship with Jesus. Hey, I want a friendship with Jesus. I want to be His friend. So if that's you, on the count of three, would you raise your hand? 1, 2, 3. Hands up all over the auditorium. Thank you. God bless 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 you. In the balcony, God bless you. I see your hand here in the front. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, hands up all over the auditorium. God bless you. God bless you. Over there at the back in the balcony at the top. You want to be a friend with Jesus? Pop up your hand. It's the starting point of your faith journey. It's the starting point of a friendship with Jesus. I see your hand over there. Believe there's one or two people, you're resisting, but it's the Holy Spirit is giving you like butterflies in your stomach. Right where you are, pop up your hand. I'd love to include you in this prayer. Don't miss the opportunity, friends, to be friends with Jesus. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see that hand. I'm going to pray a prayer. You're welcome to drop your hands now. If you would just pray this prayer in your hearts, sincerely after me. Dear Father God, I come before you today. And I surrender my life to you. I believe that Jesus Christ was born sin-free and He died on a cross as a payment for my sin. And then He rose 3 days later. Please would you forgive my sins, make me new. Thank you for the gifts of grace, mercy, and friendship. From today, Lord, help me to live for you. In Jesus' name. And everybody in the room said, amen.
Amen. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.